4:10 p.m. right here at KZSU Stanford. You're listening to the season finale of Arabology, and I am your DJ Ramsey. I do this every week. I come in on Thursdays and try to take you on a virtual flying carpet ride through the Arabian Peninsula in an attempt to showcase some of the amazing music that is escaping and coming out of the area. Case in point, ladies and gentlemen, Ross, this amazing hip-hop artist who with Essayed Darwish recreated and created a song called Yadib. You may be familiar with the, let's say the refrain or the chorus, and either way, you have never heard it remixed like this. Here it is, called Yadib. That begins the next section of our musical journey right here, and if you like hip-hop, you are gonna like this.
عيني ما تشوف النوم يا ديب حاكمها قلق ونعاس يا ديب غدي تصرح مع الطغيان يا ديب وتفعل ما تريد وتشتهي يا بوي وغدي تصرح مع التنيان يا ديب وتفعل ما تريد
كأني أول مرة بشوفها مكسورة وحزينة ضايعة كانت علقت إيدي بالمقعد ما بدي تفلت مني خليني ثابت دماغي شعره بيرتجل أطراف أعصابي تلفت عم ارتجف حاولت أرجع ركز خليني هدي حاسس أعضاء جسمي عملت عصيان بدني ضدي ركبني صخطي مثل الشيطان وجوه الناس خلتني اتمالك نفسي الحلوة نفسها مقطوع رح جرب بوسة عتم الموت حكاية صغيرة مبتوسة إلا بتمنع العتم لف سيجارة قلق ليدخل احنا ولد مستني رجعة اهله عم بيوقع عورق تغني اجا المسا دم بعروقي سكران رصاص عاليمين اصوات عالم شمال بتذكر صوت الجارة عم تبكي وتصرخ عولادها عم بتسكر ابوابها لان الحرب على البواب اسمع ما عم احكي لك قصة حتى افكارك سليلك عم احكي واقع بلكي ضميرك صحيلك طلعت من مساحة الموت مخطوف وشي بذكر عرفت وين خبي خبيت وشي عندهم لو فيني بوسهم بين عيونهم اكتب سطري آل سعود ابني قديمة هلا حمص القبلة صلي
400 يوم ويوم نبت من ضفير درع شوك منعني من النوم من الجحيم دوقني الجرعة عصر السرعة دم أسرع من الدمعة والفزعة أبطأ من ديناصور عم يرعى عم بلعب على الكلام بركي بيرجع للمنام بركي بروح على الحكيم بيقلي صحتك تمام أصابعي خمسة ثالثهم للحاكم باسم الدين رذائلي ألف أقدرها في هجاء الصامتين عم فتش على الحياة بأرض القربان الرخيص عم نبش على أرض بتساع العرض النفيس بدي ارفع سقف السما صار ضيق الانفاس والجنة من غير احساس مع الاخر ما بتنداس كسور الكاس بعصابي بدي غزي الاستفزاز ازرع حمص بعيني مش صورة بزاز على التلفاز صوت واضح مش مجاز الحق ساطع فالغموض مش مجاز لك البيت كله هر مش قصة تركيب ازاز الى الامام كله فر وانا عم عمر بالاساس من وحول شمال النهر حقي شع كالالماس حكي شق كله خطوط التماس حجار وناس بعرف اشباح الطواحين سقوط سيد درويش بس عم يزرعوا الشعر ليش ما ازرع ريش
من حمص لبيروت سيد درويش والراس تحية للشباب تحية للخوالي تحية للايام الخوالي
يا ابو دبوره وشرط وكاب ومباحث تنفيذ واداب استجواب بكلاب وعذاب روح اخبط راسك في الباب يا ابو دبوره وشرط وكاب ومباحث تنفيذ واداب استجواب بكلاب وعذاب روح اخبط راسك في الباب هتعيط يا اختي يا مسكين خدودك حمر وحلوين وعايزنا نقولك اسفين ما تاخد لك حبة فازلين حطه عالجرح الطريق تبرد نار وتطفيه ويناير هنعيد فيه وابقى تعالى وارقص فيه وابقى تعالى وارقص فيه يمكن في الأيام الجاية نعمل لك مولد وهدية تلعب في بمسدس مية هلا اسفينال بلا غلوية بلا غلوية ويا ابو دبورة وشرط وكاب ومباحث تنفيذ واداب باستجواب بكلاب وعذاب روح اخبط راسك في الباب يا ابو دبورة وشرط وكاب ومباحث تنفيذ واداب باستجواب بكلاب وعذاب روح اخبط راسك في الباب هتعيط يا اختي يا مسكين خدودك حمر وحلوين وعايزنا نقولك اسفين ما تاخد لك حبة فازلين حطه عالجرح الطريه وتبرد نار وتطفيه ويناير هنعيد فيه وابقى تعالى وارقص فيه وابقى تعالى وارقص فيه وابقى تعالى وارقص فيه وابقى تعالى وارقص فيه
راب فلسطيني من شوارع بروكسل التحتة برؤوس كبيرة هون فايتين بخطوط هجوم الفيرس مش شقفة 50 بس البيت مسروق صباح الخير إذا يومك مش مبرمج برنامجك تسمع موسيقى بدل فيلم مدبلج من الجليل للنظام العالم الجديد لا تحية لملثم بحفر أنفاق بسينا كلك واحد لما تعرف حالك عربي ملحد مسيحي متجدد ولا مسلم متشدد خليك مركز في مشروع صهيوني عليك متربص كن مركز لمشروع المقاطعة في بلدك خصص وقتك لوطنك بأمور شعبك كن متخصص أسس جيشك لما رئيسك يبلش يبعبص الفيسبوك مش ميدان بس بعرفك معارض ساحة العين مش للتظاهر انزل سكر شوارع انا مش شيوعي ولا يسار انا موجود بالقاع شرعوها بدعم زراعة الاخضر في البقاع اي نصر الدين الطفار وضح لهن ابن عمي
تلف الحشيشي ابدا اما تعمير جامعة للطلاب وللشباب لحتى تحيد عن هذا الدرب ابدا
بعنا تجهيز انجي اوز بدل ار بي جيز بتجيز تسييس وقائع بالواقع شو بتنجز تفكيرك اعمل لما تنعم بدولة فاقدة اي معنى وانت بمنقى عن مأوى ابنك ومبنى عملك بتخل علينا بالمواجع مزارعين عمال مناجم والطريق حافل بمخاطر رقاد ومخافر والخايف اخوانجي مصري اسلم مصر مش عارف يحجب بنته حكاها عبد الناصر بالتحديد زي اللي وافق على تهوية سوق الناصر احترم ثقافة بلدك اذا بتحترم يسوع الناصري ايمانك مش متزن طول ما في طفل بالا مسكن ورا في الفاتيكان في لحل مشاكل الإسكان بعد العالم الثالث كابك ضحية على القائمة أدج راسك التالي في قاعدة منظمة مش قائمة أعطي العراق ثقافي بدل السيارات المفخخة سورية بدها حرية مش سلفية مسلحة مش سلفية مسلحة أعطي العراق ثقافي رؤوس رؤوس كبيرة بكواليس أندرغراوند إف إم بتدم ملايين لمحاربة نظام خادم الحرمين وفضح سياسة تخيط أفواه المعارضين في البحرين وتحطيم الدين الأمريكي بشوارع مكة وحطين وليس آخرا كرم البعانق جبل قاسيون وقبل الآخر بركب قطار من القاهرة لبيروت رؤوس كبيرة إنتاج مخيمات لاجئين محتلين خيام بتحرير الوول ستريت مخططات كبيرة تلون رقبتنا بالحطات تكشف انحطاط بمجلات تعول مقرانة بمحطات قومية مش صاحية وقناة الدنيا من جنة بس عايش بمسلسل سوري خلي دمشق تبين جنة عسيرة الجنة اجتني فكرة اقرأ وهم الاعجاز تميز بين الكافر والمفكر انجاز التعبير خذ لك هالتفسير رام الله كانت ثورية بس الاجانب اللي فيها بعصر خرافية بعصر خرافية رؤوس كبيرة
Thank you.
That was a track called Alep by Ancient Future, ladies and gentlemen, and that followed some pretty powerful rap music or Arabic hip-hop music coming in from the region, very sort of revolutionary, very radical verses there. But that was Kamel Badane and a track called The Big Minds. That track, of course, was the one you heard right before, the Ancient Future World Without Walls Alap instrumental. Before that, it was Rami Isam. Now, he's of course the Egyptian guitar playing singer who was arrested in Tahrir Square during the Egyptian Revolution and who was consequently and subsequently tortured by the regime only to be set free after the fall of Mubarak. He does carry the scars physically, but he continues to sing about freedom and democracy. At the beginning of this set was extremely talented rapper Eras, along with Al Sayyid Darwish, and a track called Yadib. Yadib translates as O Wolf. Well, ladies and gentlemen, in about 5 minutes, I will be bringing to you an interview with director Rami Musa Alayan, who was kind enough to sit with me a couple of days ago in Oakland to speak about his film Private Son, as well as other short films he has done. If you haven't seen Private Son, it is playing all over the festival circuit, I think, and it's definitely worth checking out. It's an amazing short film about a woman who has a vitamin D deficiency, but who, due to cultural rules, is not able to sunbathe on her own balcony. I've kind of summarized it in a very, very elementary way. The movie's much deeper than what I'm making it sound like. In any case, what better way to do that than to listen to Rami himself? That's Rami Alayan, the director, who'll be speaking about the movie Private Son. And then we will also listen to Frank Gelat, who composed the music from for the soundtrack, for the Private Son soundtrack. Hope I want to wish everybody out there an amazing summer and hope that everyone will be listening in the fall when I hope to continue my Arabological weekly journey with you. In the meantime, ladies and gentlemen, feel free to check out the Facebook page for the show. If you have any comments or you want to let me know what kind of music you're enjoying or not, it's at facebook.com/Arabology. My name is DJ Ramsey, and we'll be going to my interview with Rami Musa Alayan right after we listen to this beautiful instrumental by Tufik Farouk. It's called Lili S'en Fout, which translates as Lily does not care or does not give a hoot. And that's a great introduction to the Private Son film, where the main character is trying not to give a hoot.
Ça se fait pas, je m'en fous. Cette chanson que j'écris, mal assis ou bien debout, ça se fait pas. Davern wir uns wieder sein bei der Laterne. ça se fait pas.
Hi, this is Rami Alayan, the director of Private Sun, and I want to say hi to KZSU listeners.
This is Ramsey Salty with the Herbology Show, coming to you from KZSU Stanford 90.1 FM. I'm sitting right here in the Oakland Hills on a beautiful, beautiful afternoon with Director Rami Musa Alayan. Am I pronouncing your name right, Rami?
Yes, that's fine.
but artistically, you go by Rami Musa or...
Well, it's Rami Musa Alayan.
So looking at your last name, it is Alayan.
Correct.
And you are the director of several short movies, some of which I've been fortunate enough to see, and the latest of which is Private Sun. Can you tell me a little bit about Private Sun? When was it filmed, etc.?
Will do. I've co-produced a number of short films. Private Sun was the first one I direct, but I've co-produced quite a few short films with my brother, who's a filmmaker as well. And the latest work we've done together was Private Sun. And Private Sun is a short film about a Palestinian woman dealing with severe vitamin D deficiency and having to sunbathe in private, and in doing so stumbling along with social, cultural, as well as some political things that's getting in the way.
So this is a Palestinian woman living in...
The story, we don't necessarily make it clear where she lives, although we filmed it in Bethlehem, so that's the setting.
Wow. And so this movie now is playing in the short film circuit. I know that it screened yesterday. Where was it in... you were telling me it screened...
Yesterday was in Walnut Creek Short Film Festival, but it's been going on in a lot of festivals for a little over a year now. It's been in about 70 festivals in 30 countries so far.
Wow, wow, what a reception. And this is a short film, Rami. Like, how many minutes is it?
25 minutes.
25 minutes. And what gave you the idea to shoot this film? I mean, the premise is grabs you right away, but it makes you wonder, how did Rami Musa Alayan get there?
It started out, I just wanted to make a short film that's character-based, and I had an idea of, you know, wanting to do something that's set in a household and a little bit about character dynamics in a house. And that has two reasons for it, one being cost, production cost, as well as some practicality. When you shoot in a single location or largely in a single location, it just makes it so much easier to shoot and get it done fast and with... especially when you have limited resources. So that was kind of the kind of film I was trying to make. And then the idea about vitamin D specifically came up while I was talking to my sister, who's a doctor. The topic came up about how common vitamin D is in the Middle East, even though the Middle East has a lot of sun.
Vitamin D deficiency?
Vitamin D deficiency. For a place that, you know, is blessed with a lot of sun, which is kind of ironic, mm-hmm. but kind of that became quickly kind of led up to the setup of the story.
Mm. And so that fascinated you, that medical fact, and you decided to kind of shoot the film around that premise.
Yeah, it was kind of like, you start asking yourself, well, what if we have a character that has this situation, and then from there the ideas, you know, came like a waterfall. It just fell in place.
Well, I haven't had the chance to see Private Son. This is a disclosure. I'm really looking forward to seeing it, although I have seen your earlier works, and we'll talk about that in a second. But in terms of Private Son, would you consider it to be maybe less political in nature than a movie like Les Sabriens?
Is it less political? I don't know. It is not trying to be political, although it does have its political aspects. It's hard to shoot a film in Palestine without stumbling on the politics of the place. So there is an element of politics in Private Son, even though that the primary theme of vitamin D may not be related to politics. It was not a conscious choice, per se, to go with a movie that's more political or less political. Just, you know, when you have an idea for a film that could work, in of itself, you know, that's a lot to ask for. And then once you make a Palestinian film, you don't have to go trying to make it political. In of itself is a political act to make a film in Palestine, because it's so hard to put it together. Anyways.
Right. I mean, I guess I'm saying that because Les Sabriens was a very moving movie, and politically, I mean, I want to even say politically charged. It leaves you angry, it leaves you thinking, it gives people in a very short span of time a room to think about things that maybe they don't understand about living under occupation or living in a society that segregates. Was Les Sabriens your first real attempt at directing a film?
Les Sabriens, I co-wrote it and co-produced it. My brother actually directed it.
What's his name, Rami?
Muayyad.
Aliyah. So we have the
Alayan brothers.
Alayan brothers.
Yeah, so that was the first... I mean, it wasn't the first film we worked on together, but it was definitely the first involved project that took a lot of work, and a lot of work pre-production, post-production, and then promotion, festivals, etc. I guess just to kind of touch back on the theme of the politics and Les Sabriens versus Private Son, what we try to do with the films is we try to figure out stories that are relevant to Palestine, but also specifically to Jerusalem and Bethlehem and the area around there. And we try to tell stories of everyday people. Mm-hmm. And if you live there, society, politics, culture will influence you and affect you invariably. So if we just... The way we think about our films are being stories about people from that part of the world. And if you try to tell stories about people from that part of the world, invariably there will be an element of politics about it, because people's lives are affected by the politics of their place.
And you, Rami, yourself, do you come from Palestine? Were you born and raised there?
I'm Palestinian. My parents were expats in Kuwait, actually. This is where I was born. But I've grown up in Jerusalem.
And do you go back often? I mean, you talked about filming there. This is sort of your... is it a yearly ritual of going back? Or
I go once a year, for sure. I mean, my family is still mostly in Jerusalem, so I go there at least once a year.
I hope you don't mind me asking this, Rami, but we hear a lot about the 1948 Arabs who didn't leave and stayed in Jerusalem or in the area, and who have Israeli citizenship, and as such have it a little bit maybe easier, not much. Is that where your family background is?
My family is, I'm from Beit Safafa, which is a Palestinian suburb/village of Jerusalem. That was actually split in 1948. So my family has part of it that are Israeli citizens and part of it that are actually Jordanian passports, wow. Which is what Palestinians in East Jerusalem carry. Yeah. So it's a mixed...
Yeah, and so but you're living in America now and producing, directing, writing your films here in the based in the States.
Yes, I live in San Francisco right now.
Yeah, and so let me ask you about two more questions. One is about future projects, and one is about your oldest projects, because we've spoken about two. Shall we begin by asking you, Rami, when there will be a feature film with you directing or involved in, because you've done a great job with short films, and it begs the question, why not take it up a level?
Well, it is definitely not for the lack of ideas. There are a lot of ideas. Actually, I just finished writing a first draft of a feature that my brother and I might be working on. But often, you have many ideas for films. You might even write several of them into full-blown scripts before you can, before one of them kind of ends up evolving into an actual film. There's a lot of factors. We're a very extremely independent filmmaking style group, so it's just us and other friends who are filmmakers and actors and musicians, etc., that just get together around a project. So part of it is finding a project that you can get a critical mass of excited filmmakers who want to make it happen, and part of it is also financing. So a short film is a lot more manageable for that kind of filmmaking style. A feature film is a much bigger undertaking, but it's hopefully not impossible. So
what's next for Rami Musa Aliyan?
Well, now I'm writing. So I just wrote a first draft of a feature film, and I have a treatment of a short film that I'm going to try to turn into a script. Which one will happen and when is an open question.
And one last question, and I have to bring this up because I recently found out about this. A short film named Mute, like Akhras, Mute in Arabic, someone who doesn't speak. Now, what is that film? I never heard of that one before today.
Mute? No, it's actually another film that my brother and I worked on. My brother directed it. We co-wrote it. I wasn't involved in the production, unfortunately, because I was busy. But it's a story about a little kid who's mute and his neighbor and friend, who's a little older, who tries to help him by taking him to Marilyas Monastery outside of Bethlehem. The myth goes, kids were, when a few years old, kids had problems starting to speak, their parents would take them to Marilias, and the priest would do a little prayer, and then somehow that would unlock the kids' inability to talk, and they would start talking. So that's kind of the myth that's been going on for generations and all over Bethlehem and Jerusalem areas. And, you know, for years we'd hear this story that, you know, my grandma's generations would take their kids there. So it's a story about that. It's about, you know, a kid who's mute or who suddenly become mute, but we don't know why, and his friend tries to take him to the monastery in secret. But then by the end of the film, kind of we reveal a little bit of the reasons behind his muteness.
Nice. So mute, and then we have Liv Sabrin, currently private son, and the future is as of date unknown.
Unknown. Let's just say it's being baked.
Well, don't go anywhere, gentlemen, because speaking about Private Son, I'm going to speak with somebody who created the music to the soundtrack of the film. So stay with us right here on KZSU Stanford 94.1.
Since 1980, the Human Rights Campaign has worked for the day when gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender individuals are ensured of their basic equal rights and can be open, honest, and safe at home, at work, and in the community. If you would like to become involved in their fight for equal rights or would like to support the efforts of HRC, please visit their website at www.hrc.org. That's www.hrc.org.
So as I promised you, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting here with a musician who is responsible for the soundtrack to the film Private Son, but who also is a musician in his own right. That is François Jallat. François, marhaba wa ahla wa sahla bi Arabology.
Shukran. Thank you for having me.
I was wondering what language you were going to answer me in, François, because I know you speak more than one language.
That's right, but I think for most viewers, will probably speak both Arabic and English, but we'll go with the English. So.
Yeah, no problem. But the name François, of course, indicates French somewhere.
Yes,
and you speak also French as well.
Not as great as I used to before, because I don't speak it often now, but I do. So, you know, I can manage.
So, introducing you, François, you know, I want to say you are an Arab-American musician, music writer,
composer,
composer, who has been doing this for quite a while.
Right. I've been, my degrees are in music composition, so my undergrad and graduate degree, and I've been doing music for 15 years or more, you know, more or less, and I've worked with, had my own business. My partner and I, had a music company where we licensed music, a lot of it original music, my music, and other musicians that we got the copyright to, you know, the rights to license also. And so we worked with the many Silicon Valley companies and high-tech companies licensing music to them.
And so what kind of music, François, would you consider yourself to be focused on a certain genre in particular?
Most of the music, actually, there's I like to compose in different styles of music, but generally what I like to compose is or a lot of the material that I end up doing is sounds you know for film, so it's more like cinema. It has a kind of a theme about you know there's a story that the music tells in a way, but it's all instrumental. There's no vocals to it.
And so since you're getting your degree in music, was it?
Right, yeah. Originally, my parents were hoping that I would be an engineer or a doctor or a lawyer, and I was on the engineering path, and then I switched my major to music, and that wasn't, something that they had hoped that I would do, but I'm glad I did it, because, music is a passion for me, and I followed it.
So is there any kind of Arab or Middle Eastern influence to your compositions?
Some of them, yes, definitely. A lot of the obviously a lot of Arab music, traditional Arabic music, is written in the different maqams, which are the Arabic scales. But also, you know, there are some that use the traditional, like the minor key, the harmonic minor, which actually a lot of music that's familiar to most people, like Fairuz in Lebanon, for example, is written in that scale. But and so yes, there's an element of that. There's that feeling, really, of there's a certain feeling behind the music that is there, that's prevalent. Yeah.
And do you feel that's informed by your background and your upbringing?
Definitely. I think, you know, just being influenced, growing up listening to a lot of Fairuz or Umm Kulthum, or, you know, more famous performers during when I was growing up. Definitely, there's that element in my own music. Definitely, yeah.
Because you come from a very interesting background, François. You're actually Syrian, Syrian, Lebanese, American,
and Palestinian. My father's Palestinian, and wow. My mother's Syrian, and grandmother on dad's side was Lebanese. So yeah, you know, from all over the place.
And so this is you're talking about music you grew up with back in the Middle East that influenced you later.
Yes, and it has a very I remember a lot of the songs have this kind of melancholy sound to them, so that's carried through, and you know, it's still in my own music when I compose music. So there's that feeling there
And so how did writing for the film Private Son come about, and what did you compose for the film?
Well, I met Rami through Dina Saba, who founded the Arab Film Festival many years ago, and I was fortunate enough to meet Rami because through him also I've had the opportunity to work with him and meet other wonderful people, and so he asked me if I would be willing to write some music for his film, and I said I would love to, because I've never actually written music for a film.
Oh, wow.
And that was my first opportunity, and he was willing to give me a chance, so I'm grateful for that.
And so what did you end up doing, writing an instrumental specifically for the film?
Yes, so most of the music is based around the kind of the guitar sound with maybe a little bit of violin and percussion, and it's a very simple instrumentation, but I think the feeling that I was trying to capture fit pretty well, I think, with the theme of the movie.
So did you compose it thinking of the movie itself, or I mean, like the plot and things like that, or did that just come around naturally?
I think yes. I saw that he showed me the film, and what I focused on, what I always like to focus on, is the personal aspect. I mean, no matter what the outside dilemma or issues that are going on, for me it was the main character, who's Miriam in the movie. She, you know, there was kind of a personal journey that she was on, or personal conflict, and I wanted to capture that through the music. And so even though she was married, you know, she had a sister-in-law, and you know, there's a space there that I don't think anybody can enter in Miriam's world. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to capture that in sound, in a sense, and kind of give a feeling of what she was feeling.
Mm-hmm. Is there a title to the piece, or is it just an instrumental piece?
No, it was basically written for the film, so there's I didn't give him any titles.
Do you foresee maybe writing for more films in the future? Like, this is your first set array into writing for a soundtrack. Did you like the experience, or would you rather be sort of not involved with the film industry?
No, I think especially for independent films, I think it's a great it's a great opportunity for me to work with filmmakers, especially, you know, people like Rami, who is very easygoing, and just to give me the opportunity also to get more involved in writing for film, and maybe also letting me explore what I like to do, which again, that is my strength. I think, you know, as far as composition is a lot of the stuff that I like to write on my own for myself sounds cinematic. So definitely, that's something that I would, you know, would pursue in the future.
Inshallah. So Francois, for people who want to know more about you, your music, you mentioned a company also with a partner.
Yes. So
anything on the web? Or
yeah, we have a music company. It's called Kill the Silence Media, and it's killthesilence.com. And a lot of the pieces there are compositions, my own compositions that people can license for various purposes. And so there's our samples there.
Great. So killthesilence.com. Okay. And how do you feel about us premiering your piece right here on the Arabology show today?
I think it's wonderful, and I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you so much. This is Frank Jalad, and we're on KZSU, and I wanted to introduce the music for Rami Alian Musa's film Private Son, and I hope you all enjoy it. Thank you very much.
دمع لبناني عيوني وتغزل في
Nasser and a track called Ohibbuka, based on the poetry of Syrian poetess Ghada Saman. And before that, of course, was the one and only Fayrouz and a song called El Bint Shalabiya. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a pleasure to be with you for the past 4 hours. I'm your DJ Ramsey, and this was the season finale of Arabology. I want to tell everybody out there to stay safe, to keep enjoying the music, and I hopefully will see you in the fall, inshallah.